Wow, that's like some kind of insane Irish jig done with guitars. Can't you see Michael Flatley dancing to that?
Really fast.
Really, really fast.
Until he hurts his ankles.
Yeah. Oh, he's unable to hurt his ankles.
Really?
Indestructible bionic, ankles. Yeah.
That was Recover by The Automatic. Before that, you heard Empire by Kasabian. And this is Adam and Joe here on XFM on a Saturday morning, taking you right through until 1 o'clock. We thought we were only going to go through till 12 today. We tried to get ourselves fired from the X list.
It didn't work.
Didn't quite happen. So I'm pretty sure that we're going to screw it up so badly this week that they can't possibly have us back any further after this week. So we'll do our best to mess that up for you. Later on this show, we've got all kinds of competitions coming up. Do we have more than one competition or just one?
We've got loads of competitions. We're going to have a text competition in the second hour, which is going to be based on my viewing of the film Crank.
You saw Crank?
I saw Crank. We're going to be talking more about that later and having a text competition based on it. And in the first hour, we've got a new sort of competition, right, Adam?
Yeah, because I've had an exciting week. I've been in a film. Right, and I'm not going to tell you who's in the film or anything about the film just yet, but I will tell you that, you know, between takes, it's what we call them in films.
Between what?
It's takes, Joe. It's when they film the people with the camera.
I don't understand.
A camera's like a big film? Box with a window on it, and stuff goes in one end and poo comes out the other. And they when they film the people, it's called a take. And in between takes, the people, or actors, as they're known, stand around and they chat to each other. And I recorded one of the my fellow actors chatting. And later on, I'm going to play you the anecdote that he told me. And I'm going to ask you to guess, listeners, not only what film he's talking about, but who the actor is. Okay, it's kind of like celebrity regression therapy, except real.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, that's exciting.
That's coming up later this
hour. We've got great prizes. When I say great prizes, I mean a copy of something called Dark Knight on DVD.
Has that anything to do with Batman?
No.
What is it?
I don't really know. We'll look into it in more detail later.
Okay.
But it's definitely a DVD.
Yeah.
Oh, they've got intrinsic value.
It's even one of those thick ones, like the thickness of maybe a video game DVD.
Yeah,
I think
it's a TV series.
Is it?
Plus, we've got tickets to give away to go and see Jet at the Carling Academy. We had those last week, didn't we? And Richard Ashcroft, the same tickets as last week, basically, to give away.
Well, if people weren't listening, though, we've got Jet and Richard Ashcroft tickets. We don't have any more copies of the Amanda Iannucci shows because we stole them all.
Yeah.
And I've had a very enjoyable week watching those. They're amazing. You should really check them out, folks. That's a sort of forgotten series from the early noughties that, if you haven't heard of it before, called the Amanda Iannucci shows. And it's available on DVD. There's a little plug for that. And we should play some more music now. This is KT Tunstall. KG Tunstall with Suddenly I See. Now, Joe, did you watch Jonathan Ross last night?
No, I didn't.
You didn't? So you didn't see Pete and Tina from Big Brother. What's her name?
Nikki.
Nikki.
Yeah, Crazy Nikki.
Crazy Nikki.
They were guests, were they?
Yeah, they were guests. And it was a very, very odd watch. Did you see that, Pete? No. It was bizarre.
We've got a new producer today because Xanthi's gone to Bestival.
That's right.
Pete's here.
Everyone's gone to Bestival.
Yeah.
It's an exodus out there.
Really? It's a lovely weekend for it. Perfect.
Pete's very professional, though, so you might get a better quality produced show this week. No insult to Xanthi.
That's a joke, Xanthi. That's just a joke.
She's not. She'll be at Bestival. She'll be drunk. She'll be asleep. You can say that safely.
Yeah. Anyway, you guys missed a bit of weird TV last night if you didn't see Jonathan Ross interviewing these two, because I hadn't even watched Big Brother properly. I was aware who Pete was, you know, and all of his special character and everything.
Yeah.
But it was just extraordinary because, I mean, the odds were stacked against Jonathan anyway with Pete's...
Well, with that level of fame and celebrity.
Yeah, but with Pete's Tourette's outbursts as well, you know what I mean? And his kind of manic energy.
Well, it gets worse when he's nervous, doesn't it? And
much worse.
He must have been very, very nervous.
Yeah. And he was, like, they kept on cutting to him backstage in the green room thing, swigging from beer after beer. He must have been fairly tooty by the time he actually got on the couch there. And he came out and he jumped on Jonathan and wrapped his legs around him. And Jonathan kind of plonked him down in the couch. Everything was fine up to that point. But more or less, it was then the Nikki show. As soon as Jonathan asked her a question, that was pretty much the end of the interview. Because she started talking like, as I said, I didn't see Big Brother. So I was unprepared for her kind of nutty detachment. Because what's the deal with her? She gets angry a lot, right?
Yeah, well, she's like a toddler.
Yeah.
She's like a woman with the brain of a baby.
Yeah. And yeah, exactly.
Which is brilliant in a way, because no one's done that before.
Mm.
Jay Goody had the brain of a toddler.
Yeah.
Yeah, 6-year-old. But Nicky's ramped it down to the brain of like a 6-month
year-old.
An infant, yeah.
A mewling infant.
Yeah.
Because she seems completely disconnected from reality.
Yeah.
In every meaningful way, you know.
It's so brilliant though, isn't it?
Yeah, kind of. But Jonathan was really flummoxed.
Mm.
And, you know, they sort of record that show ahead of time a little bit to give themselves a chance to
cut it down and stuff.
Mm. But they had a real job on their hands, because she launched into this sort of unbroken, mad ramble anecdote about some party she'd been to in Brighton or something, where she thought that someone had spat on her. And it was basically this incredibly long anecdote, the payoff of which was that actually it was a water pistol. But she built it up for literally about 10 minutes. She was going, and then someone spat on me. What? I can't believe it. And I thought, it's warm. You know, and then I was so angry. And I was like, I can't get angry. And then I just thought, I am getting angry because someone spat on me.
Well, thinking is an adventure for her.
Uh-huh.
So she's describing thinking in the way that an explorer might describe climbing a mountain.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And that's exciting for the world of chat shows generally. Chat show. Because it means, you know, guests will have more to talk about.
Right. So she was excited. To her, the anecdote was the unfolding of a new experience.
Yeah, exactly.
Which it's, was exactly. A thing happens to you, and then you think about it, and then you think about how to respond.
That last week's big experience was, I done a wee. And she could have gone on several chat shows to talk about that.
Yeah.
This week's experience was, I felt the sensation of warm fluid on my face. It is. It's like a baby who can talk. Maybe that's what it is. A talkie. It's like that film Baby Geniuses.
Uh-huh.
Only, you know, with boobs.
Yeah.
And functioning adult body parts. It's perfect.
Yeah.
You know?
It was very surreal. And
they've actually given birth to her in some kind of weird Heat magazine cloning lab.
Cloning tank.
They've got some DNA from, I don't know, Jade Goody and... a sponge.
A little dog.
A worm. A small, tiny dog. Yeah. And they've bred her.
Uh-huh.
So that they can keep their stupid magazine going.
What a brilliant experiment.
Yeah.
That's the kind of thing that I'd be happy to fund.
How could you go even stupider than Nicky, right? If Nicky is this generation's celebrity, what'll they do next year? How are they going to get more infantile than that? Someone in a vegetative state?
Well, no, because you can't have someone
who just gurgles and pukes and vomits and just laughs insanely. Would that be good?
No, because that...
But it's very sexy.
Right.
And naked most of the time.
Yeah.
Because it would be good if Nicky's clothes fell off. That would be the only other edge she could get. Like if she was literally like a kind of feral jungle woman.
Yeah.
Like the woman from Fifth Element or Jodie Foster in Nell.
Or the lady in the lake.
Yeah, exactly. Who just chirps and speaks nonsense and then her top keeps falling off.
Right.
Like a nutty woman in the supermarket. What about that? I think that's the way to go for next year's Big Brother.
Just round up people who burble at you in supermarkets.
Yeah, sexy, mad women whose clothes fall off.
They're my favourite kind.
Mm.
Let's have a free play right now. And coming up shortly is going to be our competition, our anecdote competition from a famous movie star. And you guys are going to have to guess who it is. Well, you don't have to. Obviously, there's no way we can force you. But if you want to, you can. And who knows, you might win a copy. Have you found out what Dark Knight is yet, Joe?
No, I haven't. I'll do that during the next song. I'll do some research.
Study the Box during Adam and the Ants. This is a track from their extraordinary album, Kings of the Wild Frontier, and it's called The Magnificent Five. Enjoy! Adam and the Ants with Magnificent Five. I've got a theory that Adam and the Ants are like the Strokes, or at least the Strokes ripped off everything from Adam and the Ants.
That could be true.
Except for the kind of... I mean, Adam had like a mad way of singing that was a bit like a sort of crazed Indian Apache man or something like
that. Yeah. You know, he must be annoyed by the success of Pirates of the Caribbean.
Adam Ant.
Yeah, he must think, I want a piece of that pirate pie.
Yeah, because he got all the pirate iconography. And
if you do anything with pirates, you should immediately call him, shouldn't you?
I would think so.
Get him to do a cameo.
Yeah.
Or at least put his music on it. Or use him as a consultant. Because he's the closest thing to a modern-day pirate. He's the oldest, the only surviving genuine pirate.
Is he?
From the high seas,
he's descended from piratical lineage.
No, he's not, no.
Is he not?
He just released some records.
Oh, you're confusing me.
But he's a genius. And those songs, everything on Kings of the Wild Frontier, if you haven't got it, you really should get it. It's, there's not a bad track on it. And I think of them as like the Strokes because each of the songs, like the one I just played, has like about five separate ideas that could be songs in themselves, all in one song. It's amazing. Such a wealth of invention and musical brilliance. Anyway, let's play some ads and we'll come back with some music and then our first competition of the day. Stick with us
all
here.
All right, I agree.
XFM, do you agree?
Yeah, cool. You have my permission.
All right, man, here we go. XFM. That's Orson with No Tomorrow. This is Adam and Joe here on XFM. Competition time now.
I'm going to line up the jingle.
Yeah, jingle, jingle, jingle. Jingle bells, all the way. With Tim Allen.
With Tim Allen.
Is he in that?
Jingle All the Way, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, you're quite right. If only Tim Allen had been in it. Imagine.
Imagine. Tim Allen is in the Santa Claus.
Thanks, that was my confusion.
Competition time. You could win a DVD or tickets to a show. You just never know. So sharpen up your brain and get ready to play.
The prize, because the jingle mentioned you could win a DVD, and that is exactly what you could win.
Or tickets to a show.
Yeah, that's true, tickets to a rock show. But the DVD is called Dark Knight, Knight with a K, and we weren't really sure what it was. It's three discs, so we went on the internet database, and it says this is quite probably the worst TV show made in the last 25 years.
On the back, it says, the only quote they've got is, "What more could anyone possibly want?" from
Hello
Magazine. That's got to be the beginning of a review that says, well, a lot. You'd think that, you know, with all with the setup, you'd think, what more could anyone possibly want? Then you watch the thing and you realise.
Apparently, it's a radical new look at the Ivanhoe legend. About time, too. I've been waiting for that for years.
What are the devil people on the front doing then? There's a big...
I don't know. There's a guy with a... There's a man with red eyes and lots of teeth.
Actually, there's another review from the Daily Mail that says it's a belter. Four stars.
It's a belter. So it could be brilliant. And you could win it if you get this competition right. And it's a new type of competition this week, isn't it, Adam?
Yeah, this is like a one-off competition because I've been working on a film this week, which I'll tell you about a bit later on. But as I said before, in between shots, takes, whatever.
Can we call it a DVD? Because I think the word film has fallen out of circulation.
Right.
Just say I've been working on it. We've been shooting a DVD.
It may well go straight to DVD. I've been working hard on a DVD this week, and in between takes, I've been chatting with some of my fellow actors,
film stars. Yeah, some of my fellow film stars,
DVD stars. And I actually got one of them to tell me an anecdote, or one of them was telling me an anecdote, and I whipped out my mini disc player.
Did he know you were recording it?
Well, I asked him if I could. Yeah, I mean, it was fairly obvious when I, you know, put the microphone in front of him.
Right, right.
But he told me this anecdote about a film that he'd worked on, and I want you listeners to tell me what the film was called, and also what the name of the actor speaking is. Okay. It's that simple. And it's quite a tough one because if you use IMDb, the actor in question who's telling the anecdote is not actually listed as taking part in the film. So IMDb may not be helpful in this situation. So it's going to be really quite tough.
Yeah, this is one for film buffs.
For real film
buffs. For DVD buffs.
Anyway, here's the anecdote. It's sort of a couple of minutes, so check it out.
Okay, so I get a call midsummer, haven't worked for a couple of months, about doing a film in the south of France with Matthew Modine, who's one of my great, he did Birdie, he's a fantastic actor. And so I'm very excited about it. And also, what really captures me is that they say it's in the south of France and you'll be working with two orangutans all summer. And I thought, wow, that's fantastic. Orangutans all summer, me and me, actor's chair with an orangutan. Fantastic. Anyway, so I travel down to the south of France, get there, introduced to Matthew Modine, who's just heaven, and they say, okay, we're going to do a familiarisation with the monkeys, but unfortunately the orangutans didn't get through customs, so now it's a chimpanzee from Lyon. I'm thinking, disappointing, but chimpanzee's still really cute, very lovely. I'll spend the summer with the chimpanzee. So we get to the room where we're doing the familiarisation, and the chimp's there with its owner, and it's got a chain around its neck, and it's going, and you're like, wow, and its teeth are really gleaming. And the guy's going, no, it's no problem. It's just what needs to get to know you. And then it's totally trained. It's totally friendly. We're like, okay, cool. So Matthew Modine, who is the loveliest guy in the world, and he goes, oh, that's great. And he walks over to this monkey, puts his arms out, and the monkey just goes, like that, and bites through the tendon in his thumb. So now, even to this day, his thumb doesn't work properly. So there's a terrible furore. Everyone's really and they kill the monkey. The monkey's killed, dead. And now Matthew's got his arm in a sling, and they bring in a midget from Paris who is an alcoholic, who's going to wear a suit. So now, from the great job that I was really excited about in the south of France, Matthew Modine, two orangutans, it's now an alcoholic midget from Paris in a really bad suit in the south of France with Matthew Modine with a sling in his arm.
So there you go. What film is he talking about?
Man, that is a fair trade, though. I mean, if a monkey bites Matthew Modine, the monkey dies.
Yeah. Well, later on, I've got another
I would have
clip.
Hoped it was... I'm being ironic here, but is that really right?
Yeah, that's
right. For the monkey to die?
Well, listen, I asked him exactly how it happened.
Right. How did they kill the monkey?
They shot it. The guy shot it. The guy shot his own monkey. Instantly shot it, because it went bananas. It bit through Matthew's hand. And then there was a big, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And there was a big chase, and it was going, ack, 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 and jumping around the room. And they grabbed it, put it in like a Hessian sack, took it outside and shot it dead.
Jesus.
And I was like, this is a kid's film.
What would they do with the alcoholic midget if it, say, was rude to Matthew Modine? Would they put that in a Hessian sack and
just bash
shoot
him.
It?
Bash him.
That should be legalised. Murder is legal if it happens inside a Hessian sack.
And it's for the sake of a film.
Matthew Modine's thumb.
Or DVD. So call now, 0871 222 1049.
So hang on, they've got to call in with the name of the film that the guy was shooting when that happened.
Yeah.
And also the name of the actor who was actually telling that anecdote.
Yeah, exactly. And that's pretty tough. So if you nail that, if you nail both of those, you can have pretty much anything you want.
The number to call is 0871 222 1049, 0871 222 1049. Call it right now if you know the answer to that anecdote question quiz thing.
Here are the Ordinary Boys.
That was the Ordinary Boys with Lonely at the Top. This is Adam and Joe on XFM. It's a beautiful Saturday morning, and we're in the middle of playing a very, very difficult competition. So difficult
that nobody's called. It's baffled everyone.
We played you an anecdote that Adam recorded on the set of a film he was in, and you had to guess the name of the actor and the name of the film about which the anecdote was.
Talking
is that
about
a sentence?
That's
but no one's done it because it's so difficult. And Adam just told me the answer, and I've heard of the actor, but I've never heard of the film. Obviously the film involves a monkey. It's not even any of my favourite monkey-based films. It's not Dunstan Checks In.
No,
it's not Ed with what's his name from Friends.
Yeah.
What other good monkey films are there? Well, it's certainly not Congo.
No, I was going to say Congo's the king of them all.
Congo's the king of the monkey films. Chimp films. It's not Every Which Way But Loose.
There's no good guessing. You know, if you are by a computer, the only way you're going to get this right is if you've either seen it by some freak
Very
of
unlikely.
Nature or you're near a computer, and the thing to do is get on there and look for Matthew Modine.
And it's films. Not Matthew. He's not really in sort of top-of-the-range films anymore.
No.
He was brilliant. He is brilliant, but he can't really command the roles these days.
No, it's ludicrous. He's due for rediscovery, surely.
It is ludicrous who commands the roles.
Yeah.
But Modine does not command the roles.
Listen, here's a quick reminder of the voice of this actor, okay? I'm going to make this easy for you. Either you get on IMDb and you check out Matthew Modine films.
Search Modine Monkey.
And do the math. Or you know the voice of this actor. We'll take just the correct
both unlikely
actor. Okay, so who's this talking right now?
How did they kill the monkey?
They shot it. The guy shot it. The guy shot his own monkey. Instantly shot it because it went bananas. It bit through Matthew's hand, and then there was a big oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, and there was a big chase, and it was going ack, 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 and jumping around the room, and they grabbed it, put it in like a Hessian sack, took it outside and shot it dead.
Jesus.
And I was like, this is a kid's film.
So there you go. If you know who that is talking.
Yeah, call 0871 222 1049. 0871 222 1049. It's completely open. I mean, even if you guess wrongly, we'll still give you a prize.
Yeah.
We just want someone to have a go.
We just want to chat to someone.
Yeah.
You know,
we're
just want
lonely.
Just want to talk to somebody.
Please talk to us.
About some of our problems. We got a free play right now, Joe. This is one of yours.
Yeah. This is some new material from Weird Al Yankovic, the hilarious American Steve Wright lookalike musical comedian. And this is a little bit of advice that should be listened to carefully and adhered to by young people who approve of illegal downloading.
This is Adam and Joe here on XFM on a Saturday afternoon. Now, very shortly, we are going to be talking to someone who has the correct answer to our competition this afternoon, which is unbelievable because it is one of the most difficult competitions I think we've ever had on the programme.
In the history of competitions?
In the history of all competitions. We have got him on the phone, or we're going to get him on the phone.
He's called Ted. Is he called Ted?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just teasing it, because that's exciting. You know, you can now imagine what Ted's going to sound like, what kind of a guy he is, all the things that the name Ted evokes, all the romance and drama.
Who's the classic Ted of all time?
Ted Danson.
Of course.
Ted Bovis.
No, well, Ted Danson is number one. Maybe Ted Bundy?
Ted Bundy.
You know, Big Ted, I would say.
Yeah.
If this was, what was the competition where you had to line things up and you go, wah, wah? That's Family Fortunes, isn't it?
Yeah. Or the Mint, like the Mint might have Ted Blank.
They're going to get rid of the Mint, you know.
Good.
Because it's contravening loads of regulations.
Of course it is. About time, too. Yeah. We figured that out about 2 months ago, didn't we, on this show?
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
We did. And if you look at it, if you watch the Mint, the lady now keeps going, people say bad things about us. People keep criticising us. But we don't care about the haters. And stuff like that.
It's like us, isn't it?
Yeah.
Here's James Dean Bradfield. We'll be back after this with Ted.
Yes, that's James Dean Bradfield and his xylophone with an English gentleman.
This is Adam and Joe here on XFM. Now we have Ted on the line. Hi, Ted.
Hello.
Hey, Ted, thanks for hanging on for so long.
Yeah, we appreciate it. Now, Ted, you think you know the identity of the person who was telling that anecdote. I'll just do a very brief reminder.
How did they kill the monkey?
They shot it. The guy shot it. The guy shot his own monkey.
So who you don't know who that is speaking, though, do you, Ted?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I know the film, but the person speaking is...
Yeah, well, okay.
Let's have the name of the film then, Ted.
Well, I'm pretty sure the film's called Funky Monkey.
Funky Monkey with Matthew Modine. That's correct, it is. And I imagine you found that out by popping on the computer there for a second.
Yeah, I've never even heard of Matthew Modine, so I just typed that.
Never heard of Matthew Modine?
You haven't seen Birdie?
I haven't seen Birdie. I looked on his IMDb.
Racing with the Moon.
I saw he played a private joker in...
That's right, Full Metal Jacket.
Yeah. So I have seen him, but I didn't know.
Got to see Birdie, man. That's a brilliant film.
Why haven't you seen Funky Monkey?
Well, actually, I might have to buy it, because you can get it from Amazon for £4.
Apparently, someone else has texted him. We haven't looked at it on the IMDb, but somebody says it's got a ninja and a cyborg chimpanzee.
Uh-huh.
Well, I can read you the plot outline if you want.
Go on, then. Is it quite brief?
It's very brief. Boy genius Michael Dean teams up with a super-talented chimpanzee and his caretaker to take down an animal testing lab. In exchange, the scientist gives the boy some pointers on the girl of his dreams.
Bonus.
Those are her boobs. Those are her feet. That's where she lives.
If you want any help with the pants, the monkey's trained. Project X, of course, is the other great monkey movie.
Oh, that's a great... And Link. Donald Pleasance is a great
there's
monkey
also,
movie.
There's a whole series of most valuable primate films that are constantly
MVP.
On movies.
Yeah, that's
MVP,
true.
Yeah,
that is true. In fact, that's why I cancelled my Sky Movies subscription. Because there's only so many times you can watch Most Valuable Primates.
So listen, Ted, congratulations. You absolutely got that correct. Would you like some kind of prize? Now, you've got an amazing choice. It's either...
Who is the person speaking there?
Oh, I'm going to tell you that. I'm going to tell you that right now, won't I?
Well, that's exciting. Well done, teasing it. Like short-term teasing.
Short-term
that's very
teasing.
Good. In a second, I'm going to tell you the name of the actor.
At the end of this sentence, I will reveal the name of the actor. It was Jason Fleming. Jason Fleming
was one of the Lockstock lads.
He's one of the stars of Lockstock and Two Smoking Barrels.
Okay.
And you'd know him if you saw him. He's a very familiar face, and he's one of my co-stars on this.
He sounds like a very nice chap.
He's very, very nice, and he's full of extremely funny anecdotes about all sorts of stuff. And thank you, Jason, for letting me use that one.
But, Ted, what prize?
What's the options?
Jet tickets, 7th of November, Richard Ashcroft, 5th of December, or a copy of Dark Knight on DVD. And that's nothing to do with Batman.
The jet tickets.
Good man. Okay, we will send them to you. Stay on the line, and then our producer, Pete, can take your details.
Thanks very much indeed for calling in. Ted, congratulations.
Cheers.
Cheerio. Bye. Lots of love.
Bye.
Okie doke, it's time for a few more ads, then the news, and we'll be back shortly. XFM.
Wow, there you go. The Scissor Sisters with Don't Feel Like Dancing. We were discussing to what extent that track is just like a joke, a parody song, and how it's ended up sort of on XFM and in the NME, how they as a band have ended up with kind of indie cred, even though when you just strip away all the packaging and listen to the music, it's like a Bee Gees impersonation band.
Yeah, it's like a very, very good sound alike of a track from Saturday Night Fever.
Shouldn't that just be on Capital?
Well, it probably is on Capital as well, but they're a crossover act, aren't they? They're a bit like Daft Punk in that sense.
Or a bit like The Darkness.
Yeah.
They're this year's big joke band.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's credible to be a joke, right? It's cool to be a joke.
For
and a that's how
while.
They managed to straddle indie stations and pop stations.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I think it's a bit rubbish.
Well, it's
Am
not.
I alone?
It's a good. I mean, but it is a good.
It's good. It's good. It's good. It's brilliant.
It's like a brilliant missing track.
Let's
know
play
I mean?
It again.
Should we play the whole
Let's
thing
play
again?
Let's play the whole thing again.
What I might do, though, is I might slow it down a little bit.
So it lasts longer.
So it lasts a little bit longer. Maybe
Great idea.
I might slow it down, like,
yeah.
Half the speed.
Twice.
Twice. And then it'll last twice as long. What I'm going to do instead, actually, is I'm going to do a free play on your ass. And
okay.
It's going to be Pavement, and it's going to be as indie as you can get. But that's after we launch our text competition.
Yes. Well, why don't we play the free play, then launch the text competition?
You want to do that?
Yeah, because we should really clear our ears out.
Yeah, okay.
After
then.
That scissoring.
This is a fairly late Pavement track from, I think, their penultimate album, Brighten the Corners, and it's called Shady Lane.
Blind it with the chancer we had.
That's more like it, isn't it?
There you go, Pavement with Shady Lane. This is Adam and Joe on XFM.
This week, listeners, I went to see Crank.
Crank, now that's got Jason Statham, also a lockstock bloke.
Yeah, Jason Statham, he's a fantastic actor. He's doing extremely well,
yep.
You know, in America, making action films. He was in The Transporter 1 and The Transporter 2,
mm-hmm.
did an excellent job. And now he's in Crank, which basically kicks Transporter 1 and Transporter 2 to the curb.
Really?
It's quite the most extraordinary film, and I'm being sincere, I've seen in a long time.
Who's it directed by?
I don't know. A couple of guys who were stunt coordinators and special effects cameramen.
Yeah.
And this is their debut feature. And it's an it looks like an action film that's basically been homemade and then sort of edited on someone's Apple laptop sort of thing.
Futurist cinema, isn't it?
Very futuristic. Shot digitally. But don't get me wrong, it's not like grotty and lo-fi, even though it's got kind of a punky feel.
Yeah.
But it is fantastic. It's fantastic because it's got Jason Statham in it,
yep.
And he's amazing. It's fantastic because it's basically like the film of the game Grand Theft Auto.
Right.
So it's basically just a character, and they don't bother with giving him redeeming features
yeah.
or making him sort of human or identifiable, because who cares about that anymore?
I don't.
I certainly don't.
No.
I just want a bloke to cause as much carnage and have as much fun within the context of a film as possible.
Do you know what I think about people with kind of understandable feelings and human problems?
What?
They're dicks.
They are, aren't they? They're boring.
I hate them.
Yeah, right on.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah. So it's got that amazing, the amazing premise. Do you know the premise?
Yeah, remind me of the premise again.
He's injected with a drug that will kill him unless he stays very, very excited. Like, he's got to keep his adrenaline levels up, otherwise he'll die.
Right.
So it's the premise of that film, Speed, but within the human body. But what a brilliant idea.
That is amazing.
So it's basically a film about what you do if you've got Grand Theft Auto or one of those sandbox games,
uh-huh.
right? And you don't bother doing any of the missions. You just go around killing people, blowing yeah. things up, which is what everyone does anyway.
So
right?
if he accidentally hurt some Scissor Sisters, he'd be in trouble.
Why do you say that?
Because his, you know, his heart rate would go right down.
Would go all the way down, yeah, unless he was like a secretary.
That's not fair, really. Scissor Sisters is exciting and danceable. If he heard some Jose Gonzalez, he'd be in real
he'd
trouble.
He'd be dead, yeah. So he has to stay excited through the whole film. There's a lot of swearing.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of unprovoked violence.
Yeah.
There's a great deal of toplessness.
Is there?
And a lot of blowing things up, a lot of shooting, a lot of car and motorbike carnage. It's non-flipping stop.
That's like a weekend at my house.
He runs through Los Angeles wearing a hospital gown with his Jolly Roger at full mast.
Does he really?
He does, yeah.
No.
Because his adrenaline is so... His blood pressure levels are so high that everything pops up to say hello
no.
and stays there. Yeah.
Do you really see that?
Yeah. And, well, not like... It's under
as
the
such.
Gown. It's
yeah,
under
okay,
the gown.
Okay.
But then he hooks up with his girlfriend and you, well, put two and two together.
Maybe I will.
And they perform an act of love, is the phrase, in a public place while a busload of Japanese schoolgirls watch. A man gets his hand chopped off with a machete. Pedro from Napoleon Dynamite is in it. It's got more visual effects than a 70s pop video.
I heard,
basically, it's incredible.
Yeah, I heard one person telling me about a scene where there's a Japanese character talking and there's subtitles and the
yeah.
camera kind of swings round to get the reverse.
Yeah.
And the subtitles also swing round.
That's
and
correct.
Are reversed.
So
in
you
the
see
shot.
The and there's all sorts of different subtitles in it. Like if
yeah.
it's an Asian character, the subtitles will look as if they're on like an import VCD. so they'll be all shaky with dots between the words.
That's a good idea.
You know, it's really clever and inventive, and I genuinely recommend you go and see it before it comes off, or if you miss it, get it on DVD, because you will not be disappointed. But anyway, it got me thinking, like, what an incredible premise for an action film, and premises for films are getting stupider and stupider. Obviously, there's the whole tedious snakes on a plane thing, but the idea seems to be to come up with a premise, regardless of reality or any kind of human interest, just come up with the most amazingly stupid premise that will deliver in terms of action.
Yeah.
And you're in the money.
It's almost like the game you used to play as children, when you would sort of imagine the most gnarly way you could die or something.
Yeah.
And it was, someone would always come up with, you could slide down a banister that turned into a razor at the end.
Yes.
And stuff like that, yes. You know what I mean?
Yes, but less horrific, more about just a narrative premise that would provide you with no-holds-barred action, regardless of any kind of credibility or human interest.
Yeah.
So I was trying to think of some myself.
Oh, brilliant.
And that's the text competition, listeners. Text 83XFM if you can think of an action film premise that is as potent as Crank.
Yeah.
Okay, here are my ideas. Some of them are quite good, some of them aren't very good. Here's the first one. And this is just to get you thinking, listeners.
Yeah.
Homo car.
Homo car.
Homo car, as in Homo sapiens.
Okay, not gay
Homo
man.
Homo car. Okay. A world champion racing car driver gets his body all mashed up while failing to rescue his daughter from kidnappers.
Mm-hmm.
He has his brain stroke upper torso fused inside his car to create Homo car. It's like RoboCop.
It's a little, yeah, and it's elements of Knight Rider as well.
Elements of Knight Rider, yeah. But he gets the car tooled up with loads of weaponry and then goes on an insane vengeance killing spree in his car. But he's a human car, so he can't get out of the car and go into rooms to talk to people. He just has to drive through the wall.
Okay, and what about this? Man van, you could call it, if you just made it
I like
a slightly
man van.
Larger car.
Yeah. Man van's better because homo car might put people off. But it's a bit like Herbie on crack.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it's like a contemporary Herbie, right? A vicious Herbie. Is that quite good?
That is good, man. I like that, homo car.
Yeah,
man
what
van.
About this?
Yep.
Invincible.
Yeah.
Right, not Invincible, Invincibill.
Uh-huh.
I haven't quite figured this one out, but it's a good title.
Invincible.
Yeah, the character's called Bill.
Yeah.
And somehow, basically, it's taking the premise that they used so well in Asterix and Obelix of falling into a vat of magic potion.
Yes.
They should use that more often. Because this guy, he's a samurai, he falls into a vat of magic potion that makes his body part grow back when they're cut off.
Okay, yeah, I like that.
And then he goes on some sort of vengeance killing spree amongst other ninjas, and there's a great deal of slashing and hacking of body parts.
Yeah.
But they always grow back on him.
That's always enjoyable to see as well, the CG with when
of course
people's
it
limbs
is.
Grow back.
Of course it is.
But he can't be completely invincible.
He is invincible.
Well, then
he is invincible.
Well, there's no jeopardy
for
Bill,
fact,
though,
that's
is there?
The tagline. He's invincible. He's invincible. He's invincible. Yeah?
Yeah.
Would you pay to see that?
Yes.
No.
What else have you
okay,
got?
Okay, here's another one. This is a splatter version of Twister. Splatster.
Uh-huh.
Right? So a vast flaming iron ore meteor crashes into the Earth's atmosphere.
Mm.
And it causes lethal freak weather phenomena.
Mm-hmm.
It rains nails and wind is fire. That kind of thing.
That's good.
That's good. So the second you go out in the rain, you're peppered with nails.
Yeah, so it's as if the weather has become possessed by evil or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So it's like a kind of a twister, yeah, but with extreme gore.
Right.
And the threat of kind of extreme gore at any moment. Things blowing up as well, obviously. Yeah, yeah, Pete looks a bit disturbed by that.
And the sun, as soon as you go out into the sun,
yeah.
No question of
burst
you
into
know,
flames.
High factor sun lotion, you just burn.
Burst into flames, right. Exactly. That's exciting, isn't it?
That is exciting.
I had another one. I mean, those were my best ones. Don't forget, listeners, 83XFM, if you can come up with an action film premise better than Crank or better than Homo Car or better than Invincible.
Hang on, tell us about the other one after the ads, okay, when we start getting some people.
But I've got pitch fever.
Texting in. Man, don't lose that pitch notion, okay? But we have to play these ads. We'll be right back. XFM. This is Adam and Joe here on XFM, and who on earth was that? Oh, that was the Rifles. Okay.
Of course it was the Rifles.
With Peace and Quiet.
With Peace and Quiet.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
Suddenly had a rifle block there.
So, we've been asking you to text in your ideas for action films that are as kind of stupid and straightforward and rewarding as the premise for Crank, which is our film of the week. We don't usually have a film of the week, but we're going to have one this week.
Yeah, that's an unironic thumbs up for Crank.
Yeah, for Crank. So, are you ready to hear some of these pitches, Adam? They're coming in thick and fast.
Hit me. Imagine that I am, who's the big fat bloke? Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah, Harvey.
Harvey, yeah, come on, Swamp hit me. Gruffly. I want to hear your pitches.
Okay, here we go.
Yeah.
Hydrophobosapien. Hydrophobosapien. Yeah, you see, you'd have to change that name. The kids will never remember that.
So let me guess. He is afraid of water?
No, come on. A water-fearing action hero,
right?
Because he nearly drowned once, fights the spirit of an executed serial killer that's been somehow channeled into his town's water supply. Water-related deaths ensue, Mark in Hornchurch. That's not the one I meant to read, but that's all right.
That's not bad.
What does he do, just thrash around in water?
Well, it would be a bit like The Abyss, wouldn't it? You could have all the water effects and a bit like...
like watery, yeah, but you don't get any gore or splatter from just slicing up a water man.
Ah, but you see, the water could use it. It could form itself into sort of drill things that would go right through the guy's head.
Oh, I see.
You know, and explode people from the inside. You know, you could imagine a scene where all the water pours through someone's mouth and they just expand and expand and then just explode.
Yeah, that would have to be the climax.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay, here's a better one. Oh, I've lost it. No, here we go. Sleeping with the Fishes. The Mafia throw a man into a lake, but radioactive waste speeds evolution, and he grows gills and a fin and returns to seek revenge with special aquatic powers.
That's not bad.
That's not bad, is it? I mean, again, just a man who looks like a fish killing people. It's not that exciting.
Yeah, but, you know, a ugly fish.
Yeah, okay.
Maybe a puffer fish. That would be the thing, wouldn't it? With big spikes on him, he could just suddenly go...
Yep.
And have these spikes...
How about this
around.
from Peter? It's called King Killer. A man discovers he's 1 millionth in line to the throne, so he kills 999,999 people in order to become king. That's quite good, isn't it? That's more like Crank, because it gives you the whole 90 minutes of action there. Bang, in one line. You know what he's got to do. You know it's going to result in death and carnage. All he's got to do is do it. You sit comfortably stuffing your face while watching.
Yeah. That is quite good, because you could have a little bit at the beginning where he works out the lineage and works out that he technically will inherit the throne.
And he'd have to... All the million people he had to kill, or the 9,999,999, would all be toffs. And everyone loves to see toffs, get it? Don't they?
Toffs in trouble.
Toffs in trubs.
Absolutely.
Okay, how about this from Robin Mile End? Robot cop. Half man, half machine, all police officer. A policeman dies a gruesome death at the hands of evil men, gets fused with an experimental cyborg machine, and returns from the grave to wreak revenge on those that killed him and criminality per se. I don't know, Rob, that sounds derivative.
That sounds ridiculous, Rob.
That'll
no one's ever going to make that. You're insane.
Okay.
That's the worst idea for a film I've ever heard.
Another one?
Yeah.
When the death toll of rabbits on England's roads hits 1 billion... A revolutionary rabbit leads a war against humans. The rabbit could be voiced by Warren G. Little hip-hop rabbit joke. But that's quite good. It's like, is it Watership Down is the rabbit death film?
Yes.
Yeah, it's like an updated Watership Down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Watership Down was brutal, wasn't it?
It was brutal, but imagine, you know, it's ready for revenge, isn't it?
Deadly rabbits.
Everyone was upset by that film. Everyone's ready for those rabbits to get their own back.
To fight back.
Fight back.
Animals that are experimented on...
Name of that film?
...become mutated and go on a killing spree. I can't believe no one's made that.
Yeah. Watership Gun Down?
Yeah.
Watership... What? Something... There's something in there, isn't there?
Watership Takedown.
I like it. That's it. Watership Takedown. Ready for another one?
Yeah.
Oh, it's not very good.
Hey, hang on, let's play a bit more music, because we haven't heard your... Oh, no, you did your other pitch, didn't you?
Yeah, well, I did have another one, but they're not... They're no better than the ones that are coming in.
Well, keep them coming in. We'll wrap this up in the next sort of 20 minutes, and we've still got some amazing prizes to give away.
Yeah, text your movie premises to 83XFM for, like, guaranteed action film premises.
Here's another free play. This is The Doors. There you go. That's Muse with Black Holes and Revelations. No, that's not what it's called at all. That's just one of the lines in the song. It's called Starlight. But that's the way people should name songs, you know? I really object to anyone who names a song with a title that's got nothing to do with the main refrain. Do you know what I mean? Bands should legally just be made to... It's like Rainy Day Women numbers. What are the numbers? You know that Bob Dylan song? Everybody Must Get Stoned is what everyone thinks the song is called because that's all he sings throughout the song. But it's actually called Rainy Day Women numbers something. I can never remember what the numbers are.
What are you talking about?
Just burbling.
I'm intervening.
Okay, then.
This is Adam and Joe on XFM, London's 104.9. We're in the midst of a text competition trying to get you to think up premises for action movies that deliver as efficiently and brilliantly as that for Crank. Jason Statham's extraordinary new film that we highly recommend you go and see immediately. So here are some more, and we got to pick a winner.
Yeah.
Are you ready?
Hit me.
Okay. Global Warning is the title.
Yeah.
Okay. This is from James in South Nutfield. Global Warning. Fears that the Earth is heating up are just a conspiracy created by evil, cold-loving aliens.
Oh,
that's
aliens,
good already, you see.
Yeah.
Our hero must save the Earth by blowing things up, starting fires and turning up radiators while the aliens, environmentalists and the public all try and stop him. That's quite good, isn't it?
Wait.
Aliens want... what? They want humans to make the Earth, to pollute the Earth in order to bring on a second ice age. Then they can move in. The human race will be destroyed and cold-loving aliens will move in. Got it?
I think I do.
Yeah, therefore global warming is a conspiracy.
Yeah.
Al Gore would be one of these aliens, for instance. And our hero has to... Well, no, that doesn't make sense, does it? Because he'd have to stop global warming, wouldn't he? Oh, anyway, we
there's
don't understand
good
that,
in
James
there.
And Nutfield.
Yeah, there's
We're
something
confused.
Good in
and if we can't understand it, then your popcorn-munching public aren't going to understand
That's,
it, are they?
We're pretty stupid. You've got to, you know, yeah. We're a good stupidity filter.
Okay, what about this? This has got a good title. It's Maths and Assassin. Put together.
The math assassin.
Yeah. The math assassin, a lonely maths teacher, sees his class kidnapped by drug barons on a school trip. He takes his vengeance by slowly hunting the bad guys down using maths, we assume.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know how he hasn't thought that through. Here's another one. Hermaphrodroid.
Hermaphrodroid?
Good what? Title. Half man, half woman, military pleasure droid, escapes from the military base that's his prison, clutches of his fetishist scientist creator. Once at large in the world, the hermaphrodroid seeks for meaning and humanity in the core of his perverted circuitry. That's from Ben Robinson. That doesn't really, that's just like a sort of a porno film.
Yes, well, you know, a better take on that whole genre is Species.
Exactly. Okay, here's a good one. This doesn't have a name. A toxic leak from a power station affects the water and atmosphere around the UK.
Mm-hmm.
Wildlife and pets are genetically altered into rampant killing beasts.
Mm.
Their prey is man. Hunting packs of cows rampage through Milton Keynes. Salmon gorge on fishermen on a Scottish riverbank. Killer pigeons crap radioactive poo on Londoners.
Mm-hmm.
It's 28 days later meets piranha. That's quite good, isn't it? Because I was thinking a film where squirrels... Garden squirrels and blue tits started killing people would be quite frightening.
Do you reckon?
Yeah,
I'm
I do.
Not so sure. I don't really get that frightened about animals.
No, of course, they're not frightening, but they're everywhere. So if they did become a threat, then you'd be in trouble.
I know, but even when they go berserk or whatever in films, do you know what? I've never seen The Birds, Alfred Hitchcock.
Really?
Just because I find the idea
that is
so
quite good. It's quite
I know.
Scary.
I mean, obviously, it's
what
like
about
a classic
in Omen
film.
2 when the raven attacks the woman's hair and she gets squashed by
a
truck?
Not that bothered.
Oh, you're just cold hearted.
I'm interested in the truck squashing.
Okay, how about
not
this?
Worried about the
now.
Raven.
This is quite sophisticated. So have a think about this. Limvisti.
What?
Little one's going to go and see Limvisti. But it's quite a good idea. A SWAT cop breaks up what he thinks is a big drug exchange in a warehouse. Turns out it's aliens doing stuff. Anyway, he gets hit by a random ray of science light. And because of his helmet and a bulletproof vest, his limbs go invisible, but not his head and his torso. Well, to cut a long story short...
Limvisibility?
Yeah. Well, he spelled it wrong.
Right.
People think he's a paraplegic with no limbs.
Yeah.
But actually, the limbs are just invisible.
So he's like
so
a
he's
floating
able
torso.
To do a floating torso who can do karate on people. Now that's pretty good, isn't
that's
it? That's
insane.
From Dave Gregory.
Dave.
Dave, you're a clever man.
What were you doing?
Okay,
last
but
night?
Possibly even better than that is helicopter. A cop hell-bent on revenge is fitted with cranial rotor blades. He flies and hovers and shreds his enemies' awestruck faces off.
You know, that's like Inspector Gadget.
Yeah, but with a gory kind of angle on it for adults.
You know, they should do Inspector Gadget as a more adult thing where he's just a killing machine.
Yeah, they should.
You know?
They probably will now that you've suggested it.
Okay, good. So who's going to win?
I don't know. I'll give you... Do you want one more?
Yeah, go on.
This is from Glenn in Battersea. Bite me. A wildlife expert is accidentally given an overdose of broad-spectrum antivenom and has to travel the globe getting bitten by the world's most dangerous snakes to survive.
Nice use of the phrase broad-spectrum antivenom.
Yeah. Snakes, I might be a bit played out in action films, but I like the idea of a story based around the late, great...
Steve Irwin.
Steve Irwin, where he actually has to get himself attacked. He has to provoke animals.
Right.
That's
well, they won't
a good
be able to
switcheroo.
Do that for a while because of the tastelessness of the subject. You know?
I don't know. I think that's actually an added incentive.
He's been canonized.
Strike while the iron's hot.
He's been Dianified, you know.
Has he?
In Australia.
Yeah. Really?
It's a real... national mourning.
Dianified.
I completely sympathise, though. I was very upset when I heard about poor old Steve. But, I mean, you know, you can't take away from the fact that that is quite a classic way to go. I mean, it's... very sad, especially for his family. It's horrible. But, you know, Steve probably would have wanted it that way. I imagine everybody said that this week. But if you'd written a more poetic demise, well, rather you couldn't, is what I'm saying.
Mm.
So who's going to win the competition, man?
I don't know. Let's decide. Let's play another record, decide, and see if we can get the winner on the line.
Okay, let's do that. This is Scott Matthews with Elusive.
That's kind of psychedelic and relaxing.
That would be perfect for some kind of mobile phone or car advert.
That's true, isn't it? Mm. Scott Matthews, he's big news at the moment.
Hey, more exciting news.
Go on, then.
We've got Hollywood's top pitchmeister on the phone.
Ooh.
Dave Gregory.
Hello, Dave, are you there?
Hello, sir.
How you doing, Dave?
Not bad, not bad.
How's Los Angeles?
Pretty kind of shiny.
Yeah.
Shiny people.
Yeah.
Shiny now, thing.
Dave, can you remind us of your pitch once again, please?
Yes, I did spell it wrong. Limvisity.
Limvisity.
No, I read it wrong. You did spell it right, mate.
Did I?
Oh, you spelt it wrong the first time, then right the second time.
Second time. That's nice.
Limvisity.
Yes, and yes, Daniel Craigson, the cop,
yeah,
gets hit by a science light.
Wait a second. Rewind. Daniel Craig's son.
No, not Daniel Craig's son.
But Daniel the character's Craig. Called Daniel yeah, Craigson.
Yes.
Why? Why?
I made it up.
That's good.
That's a good reason.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
He's hit by a what? A science ray.
Science ray.
All right.
Science light. A ray of science light.
A science light. So what are these? Is this just mean an angle poised lamp belonging to a scientist?
No, it's much more sophisticated.
It's burst out of a lab somewhere.
It's something from, say, Mathmos.
Yeah.
I get you. All right.
Yes, science light with atoms of science in it.
Yeah. And it hits him, and what happens?
He breaks down the visual molecules of his limbs.
The visual molecules.
The visual molecules. And makes them unseeable by the human eye.
Wow, you must be a scientist because you're using all these scientific terms.
Yeah, there's a lot of technical
keep
language.
Keep going, though. Keep going. This is a good pitch, man.
Yep. And it's all backed up with long bits of science speaking. But these are alien. The alien mafia did this by accident, by the way.
The alien mafia.
Yeah, the alien mafia. And then he takes revenge on the alien mafia by beating them up, but they can't see his punches coming.
So it's a bit like, what's his name in Forrest Gump? Who is that actor that had his legs CGI'd out?
Yes, much like that.
And Gary Sinise.
Gary Sinise, yeah.
And he'll pretend to be a small, disabled, helpless chap,
yeah,
but then suddenly leap up and kick seven shades of a certain excrement.
That's good as well, because you get that thing, don't you? Apparently, if you have lost a limb, you often get a kind of ghost memory.
Phantom limb.
A sense memory of the limb. So it would be a terrific kind of wish fulfillment for people in that situation.
Yeah, it's
everyone would see it.
It's a big market.
Everywhere.
It's a big market. The pink pound. I don't know what sort of a pound that is. That's brilliant. You're very clever, Dave. No wonder you live in Los Angeles and are very wealthy.
Very clever, shiny people live here.
So, Dave, prize-wise... it's either a trip to go and see Spadeface, his name?
That'll be Richard Ashcroft.
Richard Ashcroft.
Oh, yes.
Or
Jet at the Carling Academy.
No, we've given away the Jet
We've given
tickets.
That away, sorry. Yeah. Or a copy of...
Jet's gone.
Or a copy of Dark Knight. I tell you what, we'll throw in a copy of Dark Knight anyway, because...
Okay, so my options are done for.
Yeah, we're not asking you, we're telling you. Do you want the Spadeface tickets, though?
You're forcing a prize on me. Actually,
yeah.
That's fine, yes, I'll go and see Spadeface.
Go and see Spadeface and watch Dark Knight.
Dark Knight when I get back.
Yeah, you're thanks for calling, Dave. You're very clever and good luck with the rest
thank
of your
you.
Film career.
Your good work, thank you.
All right, God
thanks,
bless
man.
You.
Have a great weekend. Cheers. That was Dave. Fantastic. Winning our text competition this afternoon. Right, we are into the final hour. The X list in a few minutes just after the news. Joe, did you have something to add there?
Well, only that we've forgotten once again to canvas requests
that's
for the X list. This
why
is why
being
it's being
fired.
Taken away from us. We've forgotten, you know, we almost do it on purpose so we can just play free plays for
yeah,
an hour.
Shh, don't tell
shh, and ooh. Put fake names behind them.
Yeah.
But if you do have a request, text it in 83XFM. And we'll endeavour to play it.
Let's just rename it Good Music, Fake Names.
The A&J List.
The Good Music, Fake Names Hour here on XFM. That's coming up shortly.
XFM. Criminal.
Oh, so that's... Hang on, so we're back on air.
Well, we're just getting a code.
That was a little disaster area there, just for a second. I pressed the wrong button there. I always like to press one wrong button a week. And I pressed the wrong one just there. So you heard little man... trail there.
Yeah, that was exciting. Little Man looks like a really good film. The Wayans brothers
I'll
playing
see anything by the Wayans brothers.
Yeah, he's a gangster on the run and he has to hide out in the body of a baby.
Mm-hmm.
Or he pretends to be a baby. I don't know, but it's got hilarious jokes about like sexualizing breastfeeding.
Yes, exactly.
Which is funny. You know, I've been waiting for someone to sexualize breastfeeding. It's the last thing not to be sexualized. So
I
it's
know.
About time too.
Anything,
well done, Wayans brothers.
Yeah, because anything with babies behaving as if they were randy men.
Yeah, is useful.
Is very
societally
funny. Absolutely. So listen, we're in the final hour here. This is the X list, and that was Beck, of course, with New Pollution kicking us off there at the top of the hour. If you have any requests, if you'd like to hear an XFM classic of any kind, then give us a call 0871 222 1049. If you'd like to hear a song or dedicate a song or whatever you want, if you just want to chat, give us a shout. And I'm going to be telling you about my exciting week as a movie star.
Wow.
Later on. But right now, here's another free play. This is one of yours, Joe. And
yeah, this is The Far Side with She Keeps On Passing Me By. That was The Far Side with Passing Me By. This is Adam and Joe on XFM London's 104.9. We're in the midst of the X-List Hour, so send your requests to 83XFM for classic XFM-type tunes, and we'll endeavour to play them for you. Now, it's Hollywood anecdote time, because my radio partner, Adam Buxton, has secured a part in a film.
Yeah.
And now tell us about this film, Adam. What is it called?
Well, it's a film called Stardust.
Right. Is it based on the famous Neil Gaiman book of the same name?
I don't think it...
Yes,
I don't think the book is called Stardust,
oh,
though, is it?
I don't know.
I think it's got a different title.
I've never read any Neil Gaiman. I'm ashamed to admit, but he's enormously popular and has a huge global following. And this film's directed by Matthew Vaughan, right? The director of Layer Cake.
Mm-hmm,
also
right.
One of the Lockstock.
Exactly.
He's the producer of Lockstock.
Erstwhile producing partner of Guy Ritchie.
Yeah. Yeah, and so you were up at Pinewood,
yeah,
right? Which is a glamorous collection of barns.
It's exciting. Well, basically what happened was that Noel Fielding from the Mighty Boosh was supposed to be in this film, but he got ill,
right?
Unfortunately. He's okay, I'm glad to say, but he wasn't sufficiently well.
So you filled in?
So I filled in right at the last moment, which will disappoint Boosh fans, no doubt, but it delighted me. Because I was able to be part of this amazing film. And although I'm not actually in any scenes with the following people, I'm able to say that I'm in a film with Robert De Niro, Michelle Pfeiffer, Claire Danes.
Wow.
Ricky Gervais.
Not Ricky Gervais. He's the world's greatest actor.
He's the world's greatest actor. And all these people and many, many more very talented
But you
people.
Play, right? Am I right in saying you're one of a kind of chorus of ghosts?
That's right,
who are like a Greek chorus. They comment on the action.
Yeah.
And so you were doing some stuff dressed as a ghost against a green screen. I'm thinking of it being a bit like Rent-A-Ghost.
It's very much
Neil Jordan's High Spirits.
It's exactly like Rent-A-Ghost.
Yeah.
And
who are the other ghosts?
The other ghosts, well, there's seven of us in total. Mark Strong. Do you know him? He was, he's a really talented actor, and he's just been in Sunshine.
Fine, whatever, hit us with the big names.
Anyway, okay, well, he is a big name. Rupert Everett.
Yeah, that's more like it.
Yeah. And the other ones are people that you'll know from TV shows, people like Mark Heap from Greenwich, who plays the crazed doctor, and he was also in Space, of course, and David Walliams.
Yes.
UK King of Comedy. And
what about Rupert Everett?
Rupert Everett, what about him? I talked
didn't
about
you
him.
Mention he was in it?
Yeah. Julian Rhyne-Tutt, he's right. Also in Green Wing. There's the handsome
and how
doctor.
Were they? How was I'm interested in how and was
Jason Fleming?
How
course,
was Everett? How was Rupert Everett?
Everett. Well, the thing is about the other ghosts, right? I've got a serious wound as a ghost. I probably shouldn't say too much about the thing. Although I did ask if it was okay to talk about it, and the writer of the film told me that it was okay. But anyway, so I've got a little wound. Basically, I've got a sort of head trauma. I've done a couple of films this year, and in each one, I've had severe head trauma of some kind.
Yeah.
And in this one, I'm also quite badly damaged, but my face is okay. But the other actors have to have, like, massive, quite extensive prosthetics because they've all been killed in various gruesome ways, and that's why they're ghosts now. And Rupert Everett is one of the people, Walliams as well, also has a lot of makeup. They've got, like, four or five hours of makeup every morning. And it's really horrible and uncomfortable for them.
Mm.
And they have to go around, like, for the rest of the day for 10 hours wearing this stuff. It's really grim. So they go into a little private place.
Not as grim as doing an actual job, though.
I would say it
is. Do you think?
Yeah. I mean, it's really uncomfortable. And they have to... It's so itchy and horrible, they can't touch it or anything. It's really hot in the studio and under the lights and everything. And then they've got to, you know, act as well on top of the whole thing. So basically they kind of zone out and they go inside themselves and they go very, very quiet. But obviously I don't know Rupert Everett that well, so it's quite frightening and intimidating because he's quite a big acting star, you know. And I was nervous anyway because obviously I'm not like a well-trained, skillful actor as such, and I was worried that I would just be, you know, persecuted by these people who are thinking, what's he doing here? Why the hell have they got him in? I thought Walliams might do that, but he's not. He's been very nice, Dave. It's been very nice to work with him.
To work with him. Terrific stuff.
But I asked Rupert Everett about, when I did have a little chat with him, I asked him, the main thing I wanted to know was, what was Bob Dylan like? You know?
Right, because he was in, what is it called, Hearts of Fire?
Yeah.
That weird 80s film.
That's right.
Where he plays, Rupert Everett plays like a brand new rock star, and Bob Dylan is the kind of Yoda figure, that kind of older mentor figure, right?
Yes, Yoda is a very
he looks
accurate
a bit like Yoda,
description of what Bob Dylan is like now, actually. That he is.
And what did he say? What did he say about Dylan?
He said Dylan was amazing. He was like a real big Dylan fan anyway. We're talking about the new album, the fact that the new album's really good. Mm. New album's number one, you know.
Is it?
Yeah, it's not bad for like a 68-year-old
man. Well, Timberlake will soon knock that off.
You reckon?
Yeah.
But he said that Dylan was great. But when they made the film Hearts of Fire, Dylan was going through the tail end of quite a long period of being a bit of a druggy and drinker. So he was fairly addled most of the time, I think, and didn't do too much chatting. But they had to shoot a scene in the back of a limo, and the limo was on a soundstage, like in a studio, you know?
Mm.
And so they were just in this limo the whole afternoon, like hours and hours. They just sat there and acting away. And at the end of finally they wrapped the scene and they got out of the limo, and Dylan just said to Rupert Everett, "Where's the hotel, man?" He thought they'd been driving around.
No.
In a real car. To a hotel. He said, "Well, I can't see the hotel. Where is it?"
Oh dear. He must probably be a very good actor because he just thinks everything around him is actually happening.
It's real.
That's why he's such a great actor. Well, man, I'm looking forward to that. And we've had a couple of texts in saying that the book is called Stardust and apparently it's amazing.
Oh, okay.
I don't doubt that at all. And just another quick message for Sarah in Kent, who was listening to our discussion there of breastfeeding, as it appears in the film Little Man, and she seems to be a bit insulted, thinking that we were talking about sexualizing breastfeeding. Sarah, we were describing scenes in the film Little Man, and we were sort of ironically pointing out how appalling it is that Little Man does that. We weren't ourselves advocating the practice. It's something we do quite a lot. Say stupid things in the hope that people realize we're not serious about them. But every now and then it's worth pointing out, not to take everything we say at face value as our opinions. But we're sorry if we upset you, Sarah in Kent. But we actually agree with you.
Yeah, we agree. Although I personally wouldn't rule out some breastfeeding myself if it was offered to me.
Let's do it. Play the record.
This is the Dead Kennedys with California Uber Alles.
And this is my breast. Go for it.
Okay.
Ooh.
That's amazing, isn't it? That's Echo and the Bunnymen with The Killing Moon. Echo and the Bunnymen were poised at one stage in their career to be the biggest band on the planet, like U2 became eventually. It was between Echo and the Bunnymen and U2. They were that big, it's hard to remember.
Well, they're still in massively respected, aren't they?
Yeah,
of course. Doesn't Chris Martin worship Ian McCulloch?
Yes, he does, absolutely. No, there's no question they're still...
Discerning people would rate them higher than U2, perhaps.
Course. Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, that was a fantastic track. This is Joe Cornish and Adam Buxton here on XFM for another 26 minutes, I don't know, something like that. Now, listeners, if you're keen followers of investigative consumer programmes on television, you might have caught the latest exciting BBC One show in that genre. It's called Old Dogs New Tricks, and it stars Esther Ranson and what's she called? Jane Foldy Whittington or something?
Lynn Folds Wood.
There we go.
Esther bends metal.
Lynn Folds Wood. And they're two very experienced consumer journalists. Esther, of course, used to host That's Life, and Lynn Foldy Woods used to host Watchdog.
That's right, yeah.
And they've been teamed up to present a brand new consumer interest show that is has basically blown open the genre and redefined the entire thing. Right, Adam Buxton?
Well, I find it difficult to comment because...
the reason Adam Buxton finds it difficult to comment, listeners, is because he does the voiceover on it. And I was startled to turn on the telly and see this extraordinary programme and to hear my comedy partner, longtime friend, voicing it over. So I'm going to tease him about it now. Okay. I'd like you to join me as we listen to some clips from Adam Buxton's voiceover of Old Dogs New Tricks. I should describe the show first a bit, though.
Yeah.
Basically, Esther Ranson is in denial about her age. And these are all Joe Cornish's opinions. Nothing to do with Adam Buxton. He doesn't agree with this at all. So she's made herself, she's a lovely, a brilliant, talented broadcaster, but she's painted her hair bright red and her lipstick's bright red and she's wearing jeans designed for a 13-year-old and the rear view is very odd.
Well, she was made over, wasn't she, recently for a show? She was given a completely new look.
Right.
And I think
by Dr. Frankenstein.
Come on.
She does look odd, though.
She looks great for a woman of her age.
Well, I don't know. It depends whether you find that. I would find a woman who was more natural looking attractive. But anyway, that's just me. And then but she's a brilliant presenter, and she's sexy and vivacious and spunky. Can I use that word in the 50s sense?
Yeah, I'd like you to.
Whereas Lynn Folds Woods is kind of more hard boiled, slightly grumpy, but in a very exciting way. And basically the scenario is this. They've got a funky flat, like a warehouse flat. It's all painted white. There's fluffy mirrors and cool egg-shaped chairs and state-of-the-art laptops. And these two women hang out there investigating consumer affairs in a very, very stylish way. And the whole program's presented like a thriller, a sexy detective story, like as if it was like a cop show with two mature women. But instead of investigating crimes... Well, they're still investigating crimes, kind of sort of consumer crimes. Like in this case, in this episode, it's pills that promise to enlarge your breasts.
That's right.
And patches that promise to enlarge your penis.
Yeah.
Right. And this gives them a great chance for some playful, sexy, innuendonic comedy. So imagine all these elements thrown into the mix and just imagine what plops out the other end. Voiced over by Adam. And they do it like a drama. There's little bits of drama where they're chatting to each other. They don't just present the contents of the show. Like subjects will emerge conversationally in little staged bits of drama.
Well, it's like Thelma and Louise.
It is like Thelma and Louise, but not quite. That's good.
Hey.
And then, Adam, you do the voiceover, but you have a very good sort of approach. It's as if you're kind of a nutty man who lives in their air conditioning system and is watching what they do and commenting on it, a bit like Rutger Hauer in Hider in the House or whatever that film was. So you're just spying on them and you're in love with them and you're excited by everything they do. So let's listen to Adam's opening bit of VO from the top of the show and just get a handle on your tone and the way you approach it, because it's very impressive.
Oh, no.
That's the wrong one.
No.
That's a record as well.
Here we go. Isn't it? Sorry.
You're so multi-talented. Voiceovers, movie appearances, and also an award-winning DJ.
We've never won awards.
Yeah, but you can
ironic?
Say that, can't you? The phrase award-winning is applicable to anything these days.
Yeah,
you don't have to.
It's entirely meaningless.
Award. Okay. Are you ready? Do you know what number it is on
see,
that
one
CD?
Now, size matters for Lynn and Esther.
Two women, one mission. busting the pills that say they'll make your breasts bigger. The penis patch that promises extra inches. Do any of the claims stand up?
That went from very small to very big very quickly.
Do any of the claims stand up?
That's a little innuendo.
It's a little innuendo. A little bit of a willy joke.
So that, but I'm not taking the mick or anything there. It's just, I'm
but
excited.
It's a different tone, isn't it? You've changed your voice a bit. You've made it a bit more upbeat.
Yeah.
And kind of you're relishing the content there. But this is my favourite clip. If you skip the one about Esther making her breasts bigger by chanting and go to the next one,
mm-hmm.
This sounds like a clip from a different, more interesting show.
Okay.
Unnerved by Lativio's penis exercises, Esther seeks medical help.
Yeah? That's a more interesting show. Esther seeks psychiatric help because of some sort of penis-based trauma.
You know what? I think that was a deliberately funny line.
Well, I think that's true. I think that is true. But, you know, listeners, you should tune in next week because there's exciting things coming up next week. If you play the last clip, okay. It's the tease for next week.
Next week on Old Dogs, New Tricks. Undercover in the company built on a lie. No wonder when the ladies arrive, the boss turns nasty.
Push the cameraman, you have Esther runs in your office.
That's Lynn Folds Woods getting stroppy because they're pushing. Don't push the cameraman. You've got Esther Ranson in your office. Who could answer to that?
I did make it sound quite exciting, though.
You did, man. A company built on a lie.
It's built on a
That's
huge
amazing.
Lie. A giant
what
lie.
Construction company uses lies as actual foundations for
buildings?
Well,
exactly. I mean, they're notoriously unstable.
Big truck full of lies.
You know?
Reversing early in the morning.
The thing about lies is that they are relatively cheap.
Right.
So they're easy to buy in bulk and,
right.
You know, you can build the foundations of the thing with lies, but yeah. They generally don't last that long.
Yeah, most companies are built on them these days.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Cement is better.
Cement is better.
Than lies.
But there you go. That's Old Dogs, New Tricks. An exciting show. How do you feel about it, Ed? Have you been watching it?
Yeah, man, I always watch it. You know, I get very excited if I'm doing a voiceover for something and it comes on and I'm always like turning on the TV and stuff casually. I'm like, hey, yeah, I'm going to the kitchen. My wife's in there, maybe doing some cooking or whatever in the kitchen, and I'll turn it on and I'll just sort of stand there and wait for my voice to pop up and then I kind of look back.
Drop your trousers.
Yeah, yeah. And everything gets a little bit sexy.
That's good stuff. So, and when's it on? When's it on?
Thursday
nights. There you go. It's extraordinary.
BBC One.
Yeah, and it, especially if you're a drag queen, you can get lots of ideas for outfits and stuff from it. So there we go. This is Adam and Joe on XFM.
Now here's a free play. I want to play this one for Rosie from Eagle Vision. Rosie very kindly sent me a couple of Pixies DVDs. They've got amazing DVDs of like classic Pixies concerts that have just been released. I've never seen these before, so I'm really, really excited about it. Thanks very much, Rosie. I don't have any Pixies with me this week, but here is a track from Frank Black. Frank Black from his album Teenager of the Year, that's called Super Abound. This is Adam and Joe here on XFM in the last quarter of an hour of the X List. It's not too late to get your requests in, 0871 222 1049 if you'd like to hear something from the X List. We've got to play some more ads and we'll be back with you very shortly. XFM. I would like a nerd to text in and tell me what the name of the drum machine Prince used to use was, you know? Because it was so distinctive sound.
Yeah, that's a very distinctive... Yeah, it's got funny effects on it.
It's like he's hitting something with bamboo, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like his knee.
That like sound. His knee?
His knee. He's hitting his
if his knee was also made of bamboo.
Or maybe he's hitting the knee of someone else with bamboo, like Sheila E. or someone.
Bamboo. I wouldn't be surprised if one of his band was called Bamboo.
Bamboo.
Yo, Bamboo! So this is Adam and Joe. We're running out of time. We've only got 6 minutes left. So this is the bit when we thank everybody who texted in. We've got thousands of texts this morning.
Mm.
And thanks to everybody who texted in with their movie ideas and their requests. We didn't even get many insults today.
Did we not?
I think we only got one, and that was quite mild.
Oh,
so
nice.
It's been a good morning.
That's good, good. Excellent. Hey, listen, folks, if you're a fan of the podcast, I'm really sorry there wasn't one last week. That's because, you know, we were both very busy and...
trying to keep the quality up.
trying to keep the quality up. You know what I mean?
Unless we can make it good, we kind of figure don't do one.
We could have done one, you know?
I've got one here.
We could have done one, but it was... What was it like, Joe?
It's all right. I lifted a bit out of last week's show, but we like to add some extra stuff, and we didn't have time, because believe it or not, we both have jobs during the week.
You don't, come on.
I do, yeah.
Really?
Well, sort of.
Sort of.
But we keep busy during the week.
Yeah, I've got this job. I do. When I'm not working in films, I move bricks.
Right.
Yeah, little Lego bricks, but yeah, still,
and I'm
I supply
extra. I'm the distributor for Extra Gum.
Do you?
Yeah, I supply it to all the little newsagents in underground stations in London.
Right.
So I just go around with a van. And
could you supply them with more of the blue boxes, you know, the larger boxes with
Extra?
With the flip-top?
Yeah, sure,
and can you do something about the design of the flip-top thing, you know, because you raise it.
I don't have that much influence.
But the aperture there is not sufficiently large. You just want to knock out a couple sometimes.
Right.
You have to really shake it around to get there.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's our working week, and that's the reason we couldn't do a podcast last week. We're really sorry, but we'll definitely do one this week, and we're going to go into the studio to record some stuff specially for that.
So. Yeah, it should be a good one.
It would be funny. It might be. Might be awful.
Time Trumpet, don't forget. I think it's the last episode this week of the show Time Trumpet.
Yeah, don't forget, Crank, Jason Statham in Crank. If you want a good time tonight, get yourself a tiny bit tooty and go and see Crank.
I might do that.
I'll give you your money back if you don't like it.
That's a good guarantee.
When I say I,
yeah,
I don't mean me. I mean a friend of mine called I will give you the money back or something. I don't know. But you know what I mean? I don't actually mean that, but I sort of do.
Yeah.
It's so good.
What if a person who didn't like it came in here to explain why they didn't like it and had a debate with you live on air?
Then I would offer to, we could have the money like at stake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so if you see Crank this week
and don't like it,
and you absolutely don't like it, and you've got a coherent, non-mental argument,
we can get you on the phone.
Like it, then we can at least get you on the phone, but it would be better if you could come into the studio and battle it out with Joe live on air.
Yeah.
And if you don't like it, he will refund you. And if you win the debate, you know, the odds are against you, obviously, because...
Because we control everything.
Because we control it. But if you can convince us that you're right and Joe's wrong, we'll give you your money back.
Yeah.
How about that? Now, I'll leave you this week with Jonathan Richman. Mick Rock coming up very shortly.
Yes. Mick Rock is a bit like Jason Statham in Crank,
yeah,
but the other way around, as if a man has been injected with a drug that requires him to be as dull as possible for 2 hours, otherwise he'll die. And he does a brilliant job. That's my opinion. Joe Cornish, I'll probably get fired for saying that.
He's brilliant, man. He's genius, and you should check out the show. He plays a lot of amazing music, and he is a ledge. He's a ledge.
Sometimes what I'm saying is his delivery is very laid back.
I'm Mick Rock. Rock and roll. What a great thing rock and roll is. I remember Chuck Berry. This is Mick Rock.
That kind of thing. I rest my case.
We'll be with you again next week. Lots of love. Bye.
See you next week. Bye.
One, two, three, four.